the station for the family and the whole community.
Your favorite music.
We love CCFM.
So in studio with me today, I have Mr. Colin Durries. Good evening, Colin. How's it going?
Hey, Lester. Doing well. And hello to your listeners tonight. And thank you for the opportunity to share a little bit with you.
Thank you for coming out here. You have such a beautiful radio voice. I'm sure the listeners will absolutely love you.
Well, your job is in trouble, man.
I'm going to have to bring my A game tonight. So tell us a bit about WECBOF, and that is the organization that you are representing here tonight. But I think before we go to WECBOF, tell us a bit about yourself, Colin Durries. What are you involved in, and then bring it down to WECBOF and what WECBOF is about?
Very difficult to speak about myself, but let me give it a go. Firstly, I'm a business owner. I own the organization called New Era. We essentially entrench in the insurance industry. We do two things. We do big commercial short-term insurance, so that asset insurance, car insurance, house insurance, business insurance. And then we do a very big administration of funeral funds, right? So a lot of churches have got funeral funds, a lot of undertakers have got funeral funds, burial societies. So what we would do, we would administer those funds, pay out the claims, do all the risk management, etc. So that's the thing that pays the bill at the bills at the end of the day, and we've got a fantastic team that deliver fantastic service to our communities. But then I have a passion, and yes, I do have too much on my plate right now. But in terms of development, I believe that this country needs a lot of people that still need to make a difference in the lives of our people.
Absolutely,
we need people to make a contribution, you know, and not just to take out of the land, but to give back. I'm unfortunately one of those suckers that give all the time. So from a business point of view, my involvement with WECBOF as I chair the board is obviously to make sure that we make a contribution to smaller business, and how do we develop them and help them to where some of the bigger boys are now. And we'll talk about that a little bit later. But then my passion obviously is music, and to that extent I've started an organization called Arts Capital, and that literally organization speaks to the need of artists. Now you have amazing artists in the Western Cape in this country, and they all, we know, they're dying poor and they're all struggling financially, and I, with an amazing team around me, has taken it upon ourselves to actually make a difference in that space, you know. And we have had some amazing traction, and that's something that people need to look out for. We want to put these people that we always have in our homes, in our cars, when we switch on the radios, on the TVs. Those are artists, but we never really think about their wellness at all. And I think Arts Capital has got a huge focus in making that a better space. But back to business. WECBOF is a very interesting organization. It's been around.
Tell us, what does WECBOF stand for?
WECBOF stands for, and you spell it WECBOF, which is the Western Cape Business Opportunity Forum. And it literally stems out of after 1994, you know, when black people in this province and colored people in this province had an opportunity now to for the first time almost trade legally. And the one gap amongst our people were is that they didn't know how to organize themselves. You know, they wanted to be in business, and it was important that they get into business, but there were no organizations to give them guidance, etc. And a few organizations has been given birth at that time, you know, and organizations like the NAFCOGS and the FAPCOGS and so WECBOF and a few other smaller ones. And part of that narrative was to make sure that these guys are guided in, or these businesses are guided in the right direction, right? Making sure that they understand the landscape, that they are supported, you know, but also that these organizations play a lobbying role and making sure that these businesses are plugged in. Because after 1994, you really had I want to call it a contraction of what we known to be white business, you know, where they were really scared that everything was going to be taken away from them. So they literally closed up, you know, because now you had the advent of BEE and all of those type of legislation that came through. And organizations like WECBOF played a mitigating role to make sure that that we don't lose each other, you know, that yes, that we start developing these black professionals and black business people, you know, and that we empower our communities in that way, but that we also, you know, cross the divide between the haves and the nots and bring them together and say, listen, guys, it's actually okay to trade, you know what I'm saying? We are codependent on each other, and how do we form partnerships, and how do we have certain programs that we can actually work together. So a lot of that work has gone on the last probably 22 years. We're now obviously in a very different phase, you know. We in a phase where black business is established, where we now understand a little bit more, you know, about the landscape. And now we speak about, okay, maybe there wasn't enough political will. Now the terms like radical economic
development transformation
is coming through, and what that means, you know, is another debate, and we can chat about that if you want to. But the bottom line is, business dynamics is never the same; it changes all the time. And you started with a very nice introduction, and my first observation is that people need to get onto this bus, you know what I'm saying, or onto this train, as you referred to, because so many of our people dream about this thing, you know, and they really want to be empowered. And I think the disconnect is they don't know what to do, you know, and they don't know how to do. My simple advice is just start speaking to business people. Start going to forums where these people meet, you know, get an idea, get a feel of what it is, you know. In fact, what we should be doing is we should be sending our kids to those forums, you know, and actually open up this idea of business. Business is still very new and fresh for our people, you know. While it is a very established fact, you know, with our white compatriots. And we need to have those conversations at school levels, you know, and we must stop sending our kids to school to become teachers, and we must stop sending them to school to become nurses, you know, and police officers. We need to enhance this whole thing around entrepreneurship and say, you don't have to go study to work for somebody. How about working for yourself? I think it's a critical space where we are in now. And those are conversations, and thank you to CCFM for actually starting this type of conversation, you know, and debate around, are we there yet, you know, and those are the things that we can chat about later this evening.
There'll never be a shortage of employees, but what you need to do is you need to try to raise up leaders, and leaders in the form of employers, and not just employers for the sake of, you know, I have my own business now, I can brag to the rest of my friends now that also come from disadvantaged communities, but to show them that I'm making a difference in the economy. And if you're looking at the statistics that are out there, I think it's 7 out of every 100 entrepreneurs go on to be successful. So entrepreneurs are struggling, they're dying out there, and it's not due to lack of innovation or lack of commitment, but it's lack of resources, it's lack of understanding. And so tell us a bit about the purpose of WECBOF. How does WECBOF help these dying organizations? And there's a statistic that, you know, with support, the chances of success then increases by 60%. So how much more will that 60% help the economy that is strategically reliant on the small business sector? So what space is WECBOF playing in to help or lobby these small business to breach that gap?
Yeah. We play a very important role, and so does many of the other chambers. And our role, literally, and there are three focus areas within WECBOF. We create access to opportunities, access to finance, and access to training. So if I just break all of those down, the reality is that a lot of small businesses are isolated. If they're not part of a forum or a chamber, they're completely on their own. So now they're excluded from this whole training. And training is an ongoing thing. Development is an ongoing thing, you know. So if you're not plugged in, you actually stay behind. So it's important that you're plugged into an organization that provides the training platforms, that tells you a little bit about what's happening in the space, etc. Access to finance, we've been lobbying banks, we've been lobbying government on different fronts around to make it easier for people to gain access to finance, you know what I'm saying? So banks over the years, because of our lobbying, and not just ours, many other business forums, has created specific products, you know, which is not that risk averse for smaller business, you know, and medium-sized businesses. But also, you know, government has over the years and done amazing stuff in terms of creating pools of monies, be it grants or be it low-risk loans, you know, or high-risk loans rather, to give access to black business to actually start and getting their feet in the water. So that being said, is that it is important to know that WECBOF creates that platform where people can come to, and we will actually plug them in. We would be able to tell them exactly where all these grants are, what those grants are, what are the terms, etc. And we have got all of those networks within that forum. So if you come to us and say, this is my business plan, we've got a specific need, we will have a look at it, then plug you into the right type of people. And then obviously access to opportunities. And opportunities is probably the biggest challenge within the space, right? Because opportunities literally speak to the competitive nature of the market. So if you sell tires, there's 1,000 tire retailers within the Western Cape. You know, if you sell whatever, there is 10,000 of people that are doing the same. So how do we open up the space so that we make sure that people, you know, get some opportunities to trade, you know? So we create these networking forums where people start meeting other people, you know, forming closer relationships. You can't divorce business and networking and your net worth. You know, you can't divorce business and having to deal with other people all the time. You can't build a business in the corner of Mitchell's Plain, for argument's sake, and that's just where you are, because you'll always be then a spaza's shop, you know. The bottom line is we want people to come out of their comfort zones. We want people to meet the people that drive this economy, you know, and feel that excitement and actually then go back into their corners and say, hey, I've learned something tonight. How do I change the trajectory of my business, you know? And I think that type of spirit WECBOF want to encourage. So that's what we're about. We're about training, we're about opportunities, we're about plugging our people into networks, and we're about access to finance, and to that extent we've got a whole host of different forum meetings, networking opportunities, networking platforms, a lot of information that we share with people as to what's happening in the trade, you know, the changing environment. If you look at the junk status now, so what's the effect of that on business, you know, what's the effect of that on our communities? If you don't know what you don't know it, you can't prepare your business for that advent. Absolutely. Right. So the idea is to actually go and then have conversation around that, so that people can be turned on, you know, around, okay, so this is the effects, and go back and make sure that they make provision.
Yeah, I love what you guys are doing, especially for the smaller businesses that don't have the necessary access to resources and funding and trainings. Just in terms of trainings, though, I'm just trying to keep it practical for smaller businesses that are tuned in. And for those of you who want to engage, there's a couple of SMSs that came in, which you're going to get to shortly. For those who are interested in some of the programs, the training programs that you guys have, let's picture this. There's a guy that stays out in Athlone, and he has a small business, and he's not really sure how to plug into a bigger network where he can access more opportunity, because he's kind of stuck in his comfort zone. But do you guys offer certain training facilities where they can help network? And I'll bring it back to what I'm making reference to. I was about one of your networking forums at the Para Golf Course not too long ago. And the one thing that you guys actively stimulate is networking. Arifa basically forces people to go network and meet new people, because that is the platform that you guys are giving small businesses. Yeah. And as a small business, I tap into things like these. So do you have programs on how to train people to network? It's something very basic, and it's something people take for granted, but it's a skill that lacks in the small business arena.
We as WECBOF have we are really blessed in the sense that we have Arifa Parker as our CEO, and she is what she calls herself a network guru. Understand how to get people to network, you know. And yes, there are programs that we run, you know, to show people how to do it, you know. And it's not about, you must understand that if you're a business person, you're technically a salesperson. That's what you are.
Yeah.
You know, so you need to, and if you're a shy type of person, you actually got to develop that sales skill. Because what you essentially are doing is you have a product, and you need to sell that product to some person that's going to buy it, and that's how you're going to make money. So we teach those sales skills, you know, we teach those networking skills. But then there are other aspects that we train on, you know, where we look at, there are more formally structured business, you know, and you're looking at basic accounting skills, you know what I'm saying? So how do you deal with SaaS, for argument's sake? How do you deal with your accounts, etc.? Basic marketing stuff that, you know, how does social media, for argument's sake, now influence the business space? So there's a whole range of things that we can, and you literally need to look at the training program for the year and say, okay, this is where I lack a little bit, and plug into those things, and those are available from the office if you remember.
If I can ask you though, for the guys that would like to be members, we're going to get to that shortly, but for that program, that calendar, that register that you guys have, are you able to pass that on to me so that I can then pass it on to the database
We can certainly do that. That's not a problem.
Okay, because there's lots of other challenges that smaller businesses face as well, and you've touched on some of those things. There's social media that is coming into the space that can help you position your brand in a way that can attract people to it instead of you actively looking for people to constantly sell to. So there's more and more programs and opportunities available for smaller businesses to just tap in. So tell us about WECBOF, how is WECBOF positioned for small businesses? Are you guys deemed as an incubator, a chamber? Is it similar to the Cape Chambers? How is WECBOF different?
We essentially a business chamber. There's no doubt about that. So we do a little bit of lobbying, you know, but our huge focus would be on our members. And the one thing that really set us apart from most of the other chambers is we don't do this high-level stuff. We're literally on the ground. If you have an issue, our CEO will take you by the hand and say, come and sit with me. Let's actually literally work through the problem. If the problem is with a corporate, you know, we'll literally walk that road with you and say, okay, so you had an issue with a tender that was rejected, blah, 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 and whatever that situation might be, we'd walk that road with you, you know. There are some opportunities that we plug our members in. I mean, we are on the ground, and that's the difference, you know. It's not this high-level business meetings, and it brings absolutely no value to the members. We're not about that life. It's about making a difference in the lives of business people.
No, I love that. I mean, I'm not going to say what incubation I was part of, what incubator I was part of, but I was part of one of the bigger incubators in Cape Town when my smaller business was just starting out, and they tend to promise me the world, and I went there, and, you know, I was part of this organization for about 8 to 12 months, and I got absolutely nothing out of it, and I'm not going to mention their name, but, you know, there's so many SMSs or there's so many SMMEs that were promised such a lot of things, and the organizations failed to do that. And I'm glad you have the culture of taking these small businesses by the hand. You're sitting with them on these specific challenges. You're not asking them, send me an email of UX of everything that your business is facing and how we can help you. And then it's a very broad-based general type of intervention where they're not getting dirty with the small businesses on grassroots level. They're just saying, oh no, maybe you should speak to a mentor in that department over there, or they send you from pillar to post. And I made reference to this last week as well. When I was part of this organization, they linked us with international mentors, which was awesome. It was good. And it gave us a new perspective of how to think on a global level. But where in my business at the time, there was a bit of a disconnect. So my mentor at the time was in Belgium, and the Belgium mentor didn't know what was going on in the local political landscape. And it's also important to tap into the political landscape. And we briefly spoke about it off air earlier on. So basically, in a 2-minute conversation, how would you say the political arena plays a role in the development of small businesses?
Look, there's you cannot divorce business and politics.
Yeah.
In fact, politics determine the narrative and business follow, and that becomes the playing ground. And that's part of the reason why we are here today. It's because of the politics and the past of this country. You know, that's why you have black business people, you know, that started the other day, and half of them are still struggling, and half of them, if they get out of the blocks, they don't make it to the end, you know. And it is because of the political landscape. And I know that there's a lot of effort being done within the political framework to try and regulate and legislate, you know, the changes aggressively. But you also need a political will from South Africans, you know, and especially previously advantaged people to say, listen, it is time to go to give back. And once we start agreeing that we want to build a South African business culture, you know, and walk away from how much can we actually drag out of this land and how much can I keep for myself, but about how much do we rotate amongst ourselves instead, you know, and through our communities. And that's such an important thing, you know, that people need to understand why we trade, you know. We trade so that we have the exchange of money throughout our communities.
Yeah.
We trade so that money can actually rotate amongst us. And we all know that the Jewish people for many years are able to rotate money amongst themselves 7 times. We know that traditionally Muslim people 3 times, but we also now know that Black South Africans only 1 time, you know. So the problem with that is we earn our salaries and we go buy and we become aggressive consumers. We just buy and we just give our money away. You know, when you're in business, you need to see how do I preserve money, you know?
Yep.
And how do we rotate it for the good of our communities and then empower our communities? And I'm also appealing to people that is of color that is done well for themselves to have a look back at our communities and say, but now how do we give back? How do we actually go back and go and mentor some of those smaller businesses? And how do we make a change, you know? Because it's easy to go up and, you know, stay on the top of the mountain and forget where you come from.
Absolutely.
Those are our realities. And unfortunately, our people are very guilty of that. Very few of them that are giving back to some of these business people or budding entrepreneurs.
Yeah. So just on that note, though, to all the listeners that are out there, we opened this platform last week. And if you know of a small business that's gone on to be sustainable and successful, that has provided employment for many other people in the communities, whether they come from a disadvantaged community, keep in mind, we're not limiting to any race or color or culture or religion for that matter. If you know of a small business that started out as absolutely nothing and has gone on to be successful, we'd like to have them on the show. So if you know of anyone in your communities, please email me. It's lester@ccfm.org.za. I would love to add them to our database. And once a month, we're going to pull one of the names from there and we're going to invite them onto the show so that they too can inspire the listeners of CCFM that is looking to start their own business or who has a small business. And if you yourself are a seasoned entrepreneur and if you feel you have a lot of value that you can add to the show, we would love to hear from you. Keep in mind the conversation and all the content that goes over the airwaves on the show. If you are not particularly in agreement or happy with some of the content that we are discussing, that SMS lines are open, that email address is there. If you want to join the conversation with myself and Colin Darius from WICBOF, the SMS number is 0837889494. The WhatsApp number is 071-255-9077. I'm going to go to one or two of the SMSs now. We have one SMS that came in here. Hi, could I have the name of the organization, please? Puff, are you guys live? We are absolutely live. So the conversation or the organization that we are speaking about is WICBOF. And Colin, just refresh us. What does WICBOF stand for?
You spell it WECBOF. And that's Western Cape Business Opportunity Forum.
Okay.
And there's a website, www.wecbof, which is wecbof.co.za.
Okay, and there's another one that came. How can I get involved with the WECBOF organization? So we're going to get to that, and you're going to have to stay tuned into the show. So before Colin leaves, we're going to get him to get all the details, the website, the contact numbers, the address. So if you want to list and enroll as a member, that platform will be open for you. We're going to take a bit of a music break now, and when we come back, we're going to talk and we're going to unpack some more of the content and services that WECBOF is offering. And welcome back to the Business Show. We had some good song with some good sounds there by Stacey Orica, Restore My Soul. So we're talking to Colin Darius from WECBOF and how they are helping small businesses with lobbying and acquiring funding from both public and private sector funders. So Colin, tell us a bit more about the funding. You know, I know you guys are playing in the public sector space as well as the private sector space. You're dealing with banks, you're dealing with, you know, different organizations and sectors in government. But do you have any testimonies of small businesses that you've assisted. You know, they couldn't access funding in their own, and now Wickbuff kind of came and took them by the hand and walked that journey with them.
Lester, I must say that funding was never the issue in this country.
Mm.
There's enough money to fund any particular projects. It's about how people approach it. It's about how they prepare themselves. It's about how they write their plans. It's about how ready they are, you know. And then obviously banks and any institution look at the risk, you know, and what are people prepared to put on the line, you know. And often people will come and they've got brilliant ideas, but they've got absolutely nothing else to give but good ideas. And there are many, many good ideas. So I think what we try and do is to prepare people, you know, so that they don't deal with this whole disappointment, you know, when they go to an institution. And it's often important that they be directed and not misdirected, you know, directed to the right opportunity or funding. And like I say, there are tons of organizations. In fact, last week, Wickbuff had a stand at the funding fair.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and if you had to be a member, you would have known about the funding fair, you know, and then we would have plugged you in with all the people that are there that are saying, we have money, please come and tell us what you want to do, and this is the, you know, sort of our way to invest in your business. But then there are a lot of government type of funding, you know, that is a lot cheaper than your commercial banking funding. That's a lot more happier to take risk, you know. I can think of CIFA, which is a small enterprise finance agency, for argument's sake, you know, which even if you are blacklisted, you know, they will have a look at your application form. If you have got a good case, they will back you, you know. And then there are tons of DTI grants,
yeah,
you know, and incentive programs. We can speak, and of course, yes, we have taken a number of our members through the process, you know, making sure that they come out funded on the other side. And that's what the organization is about, making sure that these guys are plugged in correctly.
Mm. Well, the funny thing is, I was on this platform not too long ago, and you'll find that there's over 400 funders in South Africa alone. And, you know, there's this new movement where a lot of the small businesses are tapping into international funds, like you get USAID and you get other organizations that are trying to replicate like a Silicon Valley here in Cape Town. I think that's an actual place now, Silicon Cape.
Yep.
So when it comes to funding, I'm sure that you have a specific picking order that you follow. I'm assuming that you'll always go for the grant funding first, you know, and then probably the loan funding thereafter. And if clients are open to it, then probably equity funding at the later stage. Because if the profile is, or the risk associated with the project is too high, there's going to be no loan funding that might be available, or definitely no grant funding that's available. In fact, there's lots of queries that we get, and there's guys that's saying, listen, I have this idea and I'm looking for funding of 27 million rand. And it's highly unlikely if you don't have any proof of concept, letters of intent, contracts in place. So in terms of that, when you're looking to apply for funding, make sure that you have all your ducks in a row. Make sure that you have a specific plan that you're working towards, that you can show the funder that there's a fair amount of substance and research behind this thing. So I'm not sure if there's something else.
No, absolutely. You know, funding is often about the jockey, you know. People, you can have the nicest business plan that you don't even understand, you know, but people see through that.
Absolutely.
When you get in front of a guy that understand financials, you know, and he asks you one or two questions,
you're exposed.
And he blows you out of the water, and you don't know, you know, it's often about the jockey. And yes, we obviously prioritize, you know, depending on what sector the guy is. So there's a whole host of things that we would consider. But depending on the sector, we would recommend, you know, and for certain sectors, there are just no grants, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But there will always be funding available depending on what your particular plan is.
In my experience as well, what a lot of grant funders give preference to is people that are disabled, non-white women, manufacturing-based organizations. So those are usually your higher. And also, if you're looking at DTI specifically, and I speak under correction here, a lot of the projects that they give preference to is projects that have social impact. So it must have a high probability of employment that comes from it, or a high return on investment in terms of sustainability and the impact for the community in which the business is residing. So in terms of that, make sure that when you're applying for funding, you are aware of all the contributing factors that they're looking to extract from you as a business. And the one program, I don't own a TV, so I don't watch TV. I feel that as someone that is self-employed, it's a distraction. It's time-consuming, because when we had a TV, my wife would constantly nag about the fact that I'm sitting in front of the TV and watching movies the entire time.
Can I tell you about Steven DeLan?
And days of other people's lives. Eh? So the one thing I used to enjoy, the one program I used to enjoy, is Dragon's Den. And not particularly the South African one, but the UK one. And the one guy, I was a big fan of Peter Jones. And Peter Jones always said that when he invests in someone, he looks at three things. He looks at the business model itself. Is it scalable? Does it have the ability to reap the return on investment that he's looking to get from it? Number two, the product. Does the product have viability? Is there a market for it? Is it feasible? You know, will it make the necessary money that I'm hoping it will? And number three, which is the most important one, is the person. And these days, there's organizations out there that can do your business plan for you. And what you'll find is when you have to present this to them, like you've mentioned, they're going to ask you one or two questions and you're going to be exposed. And in most cases, they have that on record. So if you're going to reapply at the later stage, you know, it could come down to the fact that, no, this guy was a chancer in the past. So, you know, he's not really going to be high on my priority list. Obviously, they all have their own sets of rules and things to apply to. So, Colin, you know, we're almost at the end of our show. We have about 6-7 minutes left. I'm going to take one or two more SMSs. Here's another SMS that came in here with a number ending 832. Thanks for the great show. Speaker mentioned giving back. Would that include NGOs too? What do you think about that one? I'm not sure if he's asking the question from an NGO perspective. Are you the NGO that needs to give back? Or do you feel that NGOs in general have to give back?
I think NGOs, the very nature of them, are organizations that are just giving all the time. You know what I'm saying? NGOs, the NGO space, and that's exactly what WECBOF is. It's a NGO, you know. So we're a not-for-profit organization. I think the very nature of NGOs are to give back. Those are the people that need to be supported all the time.
Yeah, absolutely.
They give so much that we should go and actually just massage them a little bit, you know, some other time.
Yeah, no, absolutely. There's another SMS that came in here, number ending 299. Hi, Lester, could you please help me with, or help someone to assist register the business? Where should I go and register? Thank you. So if you're looking at registering your business, the best place to go would be CPI or CIPC, sorry. So it is the Council of Intellectual Property Corporation, the Commission of Intellectual Property Corporation. They're out in town, CIPC or CIPC, some people call it. It's a process that'll cost you 175 Rand. And it'll take about 2 weeks. So if you go there, just Google the address. I'm not sure what the address is at the moment. I know they were in the Wardorf building, but they've moved. They are still in town. So Google will tell you exactly where they are now. Go to town, take 175 Rand with you, take your proof of address, and you take a copy of your ID as well, a certified copy of your ID. In terms of registering your business, if you're looking at registering your business on WECBOF, we're going to talk about that in the next few seconds. So we are almost out of time. I'm just going to go to one or two more SMSs over here. Can WECBOF please help Michelle Sissel? Michelle, we will absolutely help you. Good evening, Lester and guest. I'm so happy to be part of this show and growing into a full-time business. Can you please assist a colored female in Cape Town? Nice program. Michelle, we will definitely help you with that. And Colin is going to give us some of the details now in the next few minutes. So before we talk about your details and how people can get involved with you, tell us about what businesses WECBOF is able to assist.
Look, we basically cross-sectoral, which means we have people in the building sector, we've got people in the insurance sector, all the professional services, we have people in the now coming into the agricultural sector, there are clothing manufacturers, there are bag manufacturers. Listen, just about any type of business. I don't think that we purport to be the experts at any of them, but there are a lot of generic things about business, doesn't matter what industry you're in, that is exactly the same. So, and if we don't have the expertise, we'll plug you in and we'll find the people, you know, that understand your particular world a lot better. We also try and focus on what the economic imperatives are now, like things like oil and gas. Is a big thing. Agriculture is a big thing. So we're expanding our wings into those sectors and see how do we start engaging people in those sectors, you know, because, I mean, those are the developing markets, and those, from an economic point of view, in an African or South African context, are high priority sectors, you know. And then if you're looking at people that these energy producers, there's all kinds of people. So whatever your business is, you will not be out of line, promise you.
Wonderful. We have another SMS that came in here, another WhatsApp. Love the topic tonight. My hubby and I want to open a restaurant and an entertainment venue. I need help with, is there any funding available from everyone, from WorkBuff, to assist? We are not previously disadvantaged.
If you're not previously disadvantaged, you might want to give WorkBuff money to help others.
I'm not sure if the "not" was a misspell, because usually when people say it's usually something else.
WorkBuff don't give you money, but I mean, we'll take you to the people that can give you money, and it's a lot more than just money that you're getting. And I don't want to purport that we have 100% success rate in. It literally depends on the business, it depends on the plan, like you said, it depends on the jockey, you know, depends on the product. So I'm not going to create an expectation here tonight to say everybody that comes to our doors, we plug in and we make sure we create the access to you, but you got to do the deal, you know what I'm saying, with whoever the funder is.
Okay.
And certainly we can help.
Okay, we have another one coming in over here. Hi, I need help to register my safe house, as government do not have money to support us, children with no support. So in terms of this model over here, it would more than likely be an NGO or NPO as opposed to a normal commercialized business. And when you're looking for funding for NGOs and NPOs, is this something that WorkBuff can assist as well, or is it only for commercial businesses?
We don't really honestly deal with NGOs at all. That's not part of our mandate. We've got a very
different model.
Focus here on business.
Okay, wonderful. So it is about that time of the evening now where we have to say goodbye, but before we do that, you know, so you've basically explained what businesses have to comply with. They obviously have to be registered business, and if they're not registered, they can go to CIPC, or I'm not sure if you guys have someone or personnel that can assist them with that.
We don't mind helping, you know, if that's a need, we will certainly direct people.
Okay, wonderful. And then lastly, Colin, can you give us some details about WorkBuff for the clients that want to get involved? Is there a website? Is there an address?
Again,
they can go
to? Think there's the best thing is to look at the website, which is www.wecbuff, which is WECBOF .co.za. And our CEO is a lady with the name of Arifa Parker. And she's available on 021-946-2519. So you're most welcome to contact her at any particular stage, and she will take you through the process. And there's obviously a small membership fee that you need to pay depending on the size of your business, etc. There's different categories of membership. We've got corporate membership, you know, we've got small business fees, and some of these small businesses is like R100 a month. It's really just a token membership fee, you know. We're not driving for profits here. We're trying to empower people.
Absolutely. Colin, thanks so much for coming out here. Obviously, we had a lot more SMS. One person introduced me, evening Leslie. It's actually Lester with a T. So it's Lester. So Colin, again, thanks so much for coming. There was obviously a lot more SMSs, but they all asked, how can they get involved with WorkBuff? How can I, you know, plug my business into this vehicle so that I can be part of this movement, part of this vehicle going forward now? So I think I've covered every single question here tonight. I'm so glad and I'm so happy. There's so many times you get caught up with the content and you tend to, you know, not always get to everybody. Again, Colin, thanks so much for coming out here, and we look forward to having you in the very near future. So
thank you.
The station for the family and the whole community.
Your favorite music. We love CCFM.